Good afternoon. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on behalf of Calvary Pandan BP Church, I'd like to wish members session of Truth BP Church a very blessed 15th anniversary Thanksgiving service. Psalm 43 and Psalm 42 are seen as one. And the reason is, when you combine the two psalms together, you'll find that they are easily divided into three parts. And the three parts are because of the similarity, exact similarity, in verses 5, 11, and verse 5 of Psalm 43. Do you realize that? Each of them ends with an appeal, a call to God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11 is the same, and verse 5 is the same. But our focus this afternoon is only on verse 1 to verse 5 of Psalm 43. You realize that the context is of a believer who was being harassed, hounded by his enemies. And he did not mention the name of his enemies, but he did say that it was an ungodly nation. Verse 1, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Singular. Is this nation the nation of Israel? Or is it some Gentile nations? I believe that this is the nation of Israel. That being the case, the only person that we know in the Old Testament whose life was hounded by his own nation was David. David, the young man, which means the deceitful and unjust man would be none other than King Saul. And therefore, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 would have been written by David to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. There is no superscription for Psalm 43, and so therefore, very likely, these two psalms would be seen as one. That's another reason. O, send out thy light and thy truth, was part of the psalmist's cry, crying to his Lord. Do you have this strong desire? The psalmist had this strong desire, crying to his Lord, O, send out thy light and thy truth. Now the light here, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. The truth here would be the Word of God. Because in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the light of the world, especially you find this in the Gospel of the Apostle John. And so send out thy light and thy truth. May the Lord himself come, he cried to God, and with his truth, save me, lead me, guide me, help me. He was boxed in to be hounded by the people in your company is bad enough, whereby they might spread rumors and tell everyone in the same field of expertise that you are in not to hire you because of your betrayal, because of your whistleblowing. For whatever reason, your company has now sent out a signal to every company so that you will have no choice but to do something that was outside of your expertise in order for you to bring some money back to look after your family. And in that kind of context, you will feel as if it's all over. Devastating. Imagine an entire nation. Literally. And when you study the book of 1 Samuel, you realize that it was literally an entire nation because King Saul threatened any Israelite, anyone in Israel were to help David, immediately you'll become his enemy. And even if the king was suspicious of your alliance with him, even though you were not allied to him, like what happened to the high priest and all the priests that he slaughtered, save only Abiathar. They said to him, they tried to explain, we did not know that David was fleeing from you. We were deceived actually. But King Saul would not listen. He was so obsessed with David's demise that the slightest hint based upon his own unfounded suspicion that you were David's friend, immediately you will become King Saul's enemy. And therefore everyone in Israel fear for their own lives and that of their own families, because he did not kill only the high priest who gave permission to feed David and his men with the showbread, the week old showbread. For it was on the Sabbath day when David confronted them, asking them for help. All the priests were killed, and so everyone was frightened. And this was the backdrop of the cry of the psalmist, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Because David felt that this was a great, great injustice that was done to him. And that the darkness was so thick, of course not the literal actual darkness, but the darkness of truth. It's not present. It was the darkness of lies. The lies of the devil in the heart and mind of Saul. Get rid of this man. Kill him. If he had succeeded, please understand that the messianic line would go through David. And if David had been killed, the messianic line would have been severed. They did not need to know that they were trying to sever the messianic line. King Saul was propelled forward by his own fear, by his own obsession, by his own personal gain. He wanted his dynasty to persist and continue long after his death. And he refused to accept God's will that David will now be the new dynasty. And so the psalmist pleaded with God, judge me, O Lord. Do not help me because of my relationship with you as a child of God. If I am guilty, if I have done anything wrong, let all these evil be upon me. I deserve it. But if I am innocent, judge me, O God. You see, O send out thy light and thy truth. It's not something that you and I like if we are in sin. Because people who are in sin, including believers who are in sin, we do not want the light of God to shine in all those areas that we try our utmost to cover up. We do not want the truth because we want to remain in sin, because sin is delicious. You ask any young person who loves computer games, it is so delicious they are prepared to sacrifice sleep. He will sacrifice whatever it takes in order to climb to the next level of these computer games that are designed to capture the heart and soul of anyone who plays. I was told of a young man, brilliant, did very well in his school, up to PSLE, good enough to enter into one of our Singapore version of the Ivy League secondary school. But somewhere along the line, he got into bad company. Oh, he was from church. The parents are faithfully serving in the church. Of course, not our church, not this church, another church. Brought up in the church, grew up in the church. Definitely knew the word of God. But he went into a very, very good school, topped his whole school, and then now got into this very good school, Singapore Ivy League. But after 2 years, Sec 2, Sec 3, he started to decline. Got into bad company. And then when he finished his O-level, he did not do well enough. He just maybe scraped through, good enough to enter a junior college. Whether he completed the junior college or not, I could not recall. Because the story did not end well. He went into national service and he did not like it. He was already a derelict, broken man, young man, 18 years old. And now he is in his mid-20s. He was discharged from national service because he lied, pretended to be sick, mental illness, and therefore they discharged him. And so what did he do with his life? The parents continued to give him monthly allowance, enough allowance to rent a room in Singapore, and all he does is to eat, sleep, and play computer games. He played computer games throughout the whole night sometimes, didn't even bother to take a proper shower. His room is a mess. He smelled a mess. Young life, brought up in church, went through Sunday school, promising young student up to primary 6. And from 13 years old onwards, secondary school onwards, everything went out of control. And today, the parents just simply do not know what to do. Do not know what to do. This is his own fault. A person who is in this kind of shape and condition, he won't dare to ask the Lord, judge me. Because if the Lord were to judge him, he will be found guilty and guilty and guilty on all counts. Guilty in his turning his back on God, on Christ. Guilty in the way that he dishonored his parents. Guilty in wasting his own life. Guilty. You think he will ever cry, oh, send out thy light and thy truth? Crying to the Lord, may the Lord Jesus Christ come and search me. Send the truth out. He will not. And therefore, the ones who will cry, send out thy light and thy truth, is the one who have this desire. Do you have this desire? As you reflect back upon 15 years, do you have this desire for the Lord? Because this psalmist, perhaps David, he knew that he was in a dire strait. He knew that he was not guilty. He was innocent. I have not done anything. Not that he was perfect. But as far as his relationship with King Saul was concerned, he did not ask to be anointed as the next king. King Saul was removed from his kingship because of his own sin and transgression. His refusal to repent of his sin when he sinned against God. David had nothing to do with this. And whatever he asked David to do as one of his many soldiers, David was faithful in discharging his responsibilities. He was faultless, he was blameless, he was without spot, as it were, as far as his duty and loyalty to King Saul as an Israelite to his king. And that's why he was sincere when he asked the Lord, judge me, O God. He deliberately used God, Elohim, rather than Jehovah in his cry to God. And if you look at all these 5 verses, you realize that God is used and Jehovah is not used at all. The Lord is used in Psalm 42, but Elohim is used here, crying for the power of God. If I'm guilty, punish me by all means. You are the Creator. You are the Almighty. I'm just a creature. A child of God, but a creature nevertheless. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation, he cried to God. Be the judge between me and the nation. What have I done to the nation? Did I try to kill any Israelite? Well, he pretended when he was hiding in the Philistine territory. That was his only recourse, humanly speaking. Pretend to be an enemy and a friend of the Philistines. But he never at any time wished to hurt God's people. Even though they wanted to betray him and kill him, he never behaved like them. He never reciprocated with the same kind of anger. He always wanted the best for his people, God's people. And so he asked the Lord to be the arbitrator, to be the judge. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Synthetic parallelism. Judge me, not guilty, then please deliver. Deliver me. For thou art the God of my strength. I will not, never, never, never give up on you, O God. Even though my circumstances are such that it may appear as if you have deserted me. You know that when an Israelite is driven out of his own land, it is as good as telling him, why do you still want to believe in the God that did not protect you, that did not keep you safe? Now you see you have to run and hide in Philistine territory. Why do you still want to hold on to Jehovah? And because he promised you and anointed you to be the next king, and that's the beginning of your nightmare. Is that not true, David? Why do you want to hold on to him? Why do you want to believe in him still? It was just like what Job's wife said to Job. You lost everything. Why do you still want to hold on to Jehovah? Curse God and die. But the psalmist says, no matter what, I do not believe in you because of the good life. I do not believe in you because of the blessings. I believe in you because you are the one living and true God. And if I do not believe in you, there is no one else that I could believe in. You are the Lord. To whom shall we go? Was that not what Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus asked his disciples the same thing? All these people deserted me. Will you also leave me? To whom shall we go? Thou art the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior. To whom shall we go? No matter what, the psalmist says, I will never, never stop believing in God. This is the people, these are the kind of people who will cry to the Lord, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. They know they will never not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can lose everything. And David, at this point in time, literally, he lost almost everything except for his life. He had to quietly, stealthily take his own parents and hide them in Moab, because that's where his great-grandmother Ruth came from, for fear that Saul might just capture them and use them as pawns in order for David to surrender himself. And so he protected his parents. He was from Bethlehem, Judah. He could not go back there, because perhaps even his own people from Bethlehem, Judah would also betray him because of the threat of the king. He literally lost everything. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? That was his question. I will always hold on to you. Why dost thou cast me off? That's how he felt. And you cry to the Lord over and over and over again. Now, of course, we know that if this was David and his trial ended at the age of 30. How old was he when he killed Goliath? Let's say 15. So that means his trial would be 15 years long. Did God tell him that your trial will be 15 years long? No. His trial as a fugitive could probably last an entire lifetime. As far as David was concerned, he did not know that there was going to be an end at the age of 30. We only knew because of back perspective. We look back in his life. That's how we know. Just like when you and I are going through a very difficult time, you think there you will be encouraged by this. Somewhere down the road there will be an end. But how far down the road? You don't know. But you have to persevere. And that's what he meant when he said, why dost thou cast me off as if you don't care for me? But he said to the Lord, God Almighty, I will never, never stop believing in you. You will always be my strength, even though it may appear as if you have forgotten me. You have cast me aside because no help came. No one, no deliverance that he could see. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Synonymous parallelism. Crying. Day and night. Crying to the Lord as if God is not hearing. And so the one who will cry to the Lord, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, is the one who has this strong desire. Desire for God. Well, you may say, my life is okay, I have no desire. And so therefore, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. It may be something for my neighbor, for somebody else who is in dire straits, who is in trouble. I'm okay. We thank God that our life here on earth is not one of continuous, not continual, continuous. You know the difference between continual and continuous? I checked it up in the dictionary because I kept being corrected. When I'm supposed to use continual, I use continuous. When I use continuous, I'm supposed to use continual. And so one day I fed up. I better go check the dictionary and find out exactly what it means. Because you find the words in the Bible, in the King James Bible, continuous and continual. Continuous means non-stop, literally non-stop. Like, wow, your baby has been crying continuously for 1 hour. That means non-stop, one whole long hour of cry. Continuous, non-stop. Now if I say, well, your child has been crying for 1 whole week continuously. Now that's impossible unless there's something really wrong with the child. 24/7, non-stop crying, continuous. I should have used the word continually. That means you cry, stop, and then cry again, stop, and then cry again, stop, and then cry, and that's continual. So in this context, this strong desire, thank God our life is not one that is continuously difficult. Continually, yes, not continuously. In other words, God is merciful. Our life could be continuously difficult. But if you say to God's people, I've never had this kind of feeling before. And so therefore this, oh, stand out thy light and thy truth. Actually, I don't think I've ever cried to the Lord for such. We live in the devil's world. We live in a world where the prince of darkness has woven a very thick carpet for the past thousands of years that have covered this entire planet in spiritual darkness. And with every change in modern technology, this thick black blanket of darkness got thicker and darker. Because it's so much faster now in spreading his lies and his deception and his truth with modern technology. And if you are shining brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, which you're supposed to do as a holy child of God, in which world? In heaven, no problem. Because everyone in heaven will be doing the same as you are. But in this world of the devil, where spiritual darkness can only be pushed out by God's light, Christ, do you think the darkness will just simply stand there and let you push them away? Do you think the God of this world will just simply leave you alone and will not do what King Saul did to David? You once upon a time belonged to his army. You belonged to him. Do you know that? And now that you have changed side, you have changed to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil's mortal enemy. You think he will be so delighted and he will just simply leave you be? Especially if you are a child of God, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, fighting the good fight of faith. You think he will just simply leave you be? You and I read of some Russian in high places. They escaped Russia. And now they try to bring down the Kremlin. If all these that we read in the papers are true, what did the Russians do? What did the Russian leadership do? Remember how they assassinated and killed all these ex-Russians who used to belong to them, now they have changed sides. They want to shut them up. They use poison to poison them, according to the newspaper that we have read. Of course, the Russian leadership will deny it. Of course, obviously they deny it. What do you expect them to do? Say, yes, we did it. They won't be that bold. They will hide behind the cloak of lies and deception. They planned and plotted all these already. Because they know that it will be found out. And all they needed to do is to deny it. Because everyone will deny it. Everyone. No exception. And if they were to do that to their own people who betrayed them, What do you think the devil will do to you? And therefore, if your life is free from this kind of desire because you have never experienced what David or this psalmist experienced, where he felt so boxed in, he felt so squeezed and pressed and cornered because of the faith. That's what it is, because of Christ. That's why he cried, "Judge me, O God. Judge me." Because he knew that he was innocent. He knew that he was being persecuted for Christ's sake. That's the only desire that will enable you to sincerely cry from the depths of your soul. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth, you tell God. Because when the light of God shines, you are squeaky clean. You have nothing to be afraid of. Because your life and your heart has been sanctified and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your conscience is clear. You know you are blameless and without spot. Because your life is one of holiness and godliness. Because when God truly comes and he hears this cry, "Send out thy light and thy truth," and the light shines. Are there areas that you are ashamed of? That you say to the Lord, just shine only in my life in church. That one is squeaky clean. Because I do the very barest minimum. I come to church, I give my offering and my tithes. And then I do not quarrel with anyone. I do not serve anyone. I'm okay. Everyone is kept at arm's length. I'm okay. I come faithfully every Lord's Day. Shine brightly, Lord. This is fine. But those private moments in my life, don't shine there, Lord, because that I'm trying to hide from everyone on earth, and I want to hide from you too. Don't shine there. How long have you been in Truth BB Church? Since her first year? That means 15 long years. And if you have been hiding, not doing anything in church so that you could be friends with everyone, and everyone is just an acquaintance, there is no close brother or sister in Christ that you can turn to or they can turn to you because nobody knows you. You think that is squeaky clean, think that is good just because you avoid everybody and you are an acquaintance with everybody, not one person is close to you because you have not been serving. That is not squeaky clean. That is an omission of your duty and responsibility to be a diligent, faithful brother or sister in Christ to everyone in this church. So this 15th year of thanksgiving and celebration of the existence of Truth BP Church, and if you are part of this, and if you have not contributed much, can you truly say that you have much to thank God for? Maybe you can thank God for His mercies that you are not consumed yet. Please do not think that 2021, you will continue to have the Lord's mercies. Do you know why God deliberately omitted the word mercies in the greetings of the epistles? Because the epistles were written out of problems in the church. Grace and peace, no mercies, not yet. If you do not repent to all those who are in these churches that are sinful, naughty, evil, wicked, no mercies will be given to you. Judgment will soon come. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to them, based upon all the problems in the church, grace and peace. If you repent, mercies will follow. But to Timothy and Titus, to encourage them, grace, mercy and peace was his usual salutation. And this afternoon, as you reflect back on 15 years, if you have been here from the very beginning, if you are not, it is still also a time for you to reflect for whatever number of years or months that the Lord has blessed you with in this church. And the Lord says, grace, mercy, and peace to you. Because you truly, sincerely have been living a holy life for Christ. And you are paying the price for it because of the persecution, the difficulty, whether mental, physical, or not. And you know what's it like. And to someone who is like that, you are like the psalmist. You will sincerely desire and say to the Lord, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Because you know you will be helped by God. You will not be condemned by God. Because you are suffering for Christ, like David was. The person himself would know whether you want the Lord to really send out His light and His truth. Let them lead me. Send it out to do what? Lead you, guide you. To guide David, to know what to do, to know where to go, to know what ought to be the right thing to do in all these difficult moments of his life as a fugitive. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Synthetic parallelism again. All the way until I arrived home in glory. All the way to thy holy presence. Right now he felt so alone. He felt as if the Lord was not hearing his cry because no help came. No deliverance. His life as a fugitive continued to go on and on. And it seems to be forever. And on at least two occasions he could have killed King Saul. He was tempted, but thank God he did not succumb. Even his own men told him, this is the Lord's doing. No, I cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. And he refused. He waited upon the Lord. He waited patiently for the Lord to deliver in his time. And so in the meantime, he prayed to the Lord, lead me. And so the Lord led him. Based upon my truth, you cannot touch him. I only called you and told you that you will be anointed as the next king. I did not tell you when you're going to be anointed as the next king. I did not tell you how old you'll be when you become the next king. I just tell you that you'll be anointed. So you must wait patiently for the timing. Because I know the right time for you, the best time for you when you are ready. You wait patiently. And in the meantime, fugitive years, you'll be your only diet. And that was how he lived. That was how he felt. He felt so lonely, so deserted, as if the Lord himself had cast him off. Was that not his testimony? And now he prayed to the Lord, lead me and guide me and bring me all the way to thy holy hill, to thy holy presence. Jerusalem was not that yet. To thy tabernacle. And wherever the tabernacle was located, the last time when they first arrived, it was in Shiloh. But they moved it around. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. O God, my God. O Elohim, my Elohim. He will hold on to God with dear life. Because he himself in his own heart knows that he needed the Lord's guidance, the Lord's leading, the Lord's direction. A person who says, I do not need the Lord's direction, is a person who hardly prays. The tragedy is, how could a child of God say to the Lord, I can know my own direction without you? That is impossible. Why do you think the Lord tells us to pray without ceasing? If we can figure out God's way and God's will for my life and where I ought to go, what I ought to do without prayer, without God, then why did God need to save me? After we are saved, God says, I want to continue to direct you and guide you where you ought to go. And sometimes we like to go our own way. We like to use a lot of other ideas and experiences. So much so that seeking God's leading and guidance is something very alien to us. But to David, who desire for this light and this truth of God to shine, to lead and to guide him, direct, where should I go? What should I do? He knows it in his own heart. That without the Lord Jesus Christ, he is lost. That without the Lord Jesus Christ, his life is meaningless. His life was hopeless. And that's why even when everything seems to head in the opposite direction, because to be king, then you should be closer and closer to the king, to the palace, to the throne, But the way that his fugitive life was leading him, it was leading him farther and farther away, even outside of Israel. How to be the king of Israel when you are now hiding as a fugitive in Philistine territory, Israel's enemies? Everything seems so impossible. Based upon God's assurance, anointing as king, I'm not even in Israel. How am I going to be king? Just like Joseph the dreamer. How will my brothers and my parents kowtow to me? You have given me two dreams that they are going to kowtow to me. In order for them to kowtow to me, then I have to be somebody. If I'm at home, they will never kowtow to me because he was the second youngest, obviously. And so the Lord took him out. But out where? Prison. Slave. The opposite direction. Until one night, he did not know. God gave to Pharaoh two dreams. And that morning when Joseph woke up, the Lord sent the light and his truth. And by the end of that same day, he started in prison. He ended sleeping in the palace. Just like that. His life as a slave and as a prisoner was over. He knows that he needs God to send his light and his truth to lead him and to guide him. Which one do you think is worse? A person who doesn't know, and then he just continues to live on his life in the wrong direction? Or a person who knows, and then you tell the truth and he doesn't want? Which one is worse? I believe the first one is worse. Because he doesn't even know that he is wasting his life. He just goes through the motion. And the sad part is many of the things that he goes through in as a motion are Christian activities. Everything is just superficial. How is your life as a Christian? Is it vibrant? Is it alive? Alive? Is it something that you are very passionate about? Is Jesus Christ someone that is very, very important to you? All important to you? The center of your life? The moment you wake up, you think of him. Right up to the very moment you go to sleep, you never stop thinking about the Lord. Because the person who would cry to the Lord, "Oh, send out thy truth and thy light," he knows that without the Lord, he knows that his life is aimless and hopeless. Do you know that? You see, we live in an educated society. And many of the things that we do are like remote control. After kindergarten, straight away we go to primary school. And after primary school, straight away we enter secondary school. It's like, close both eyes, you're just being swept along by our society. And then after that, you work hard, you get into either junior college, or you go to some institutions of higher learning, like a polytechnic, or whatever. It's all pre-programmed into our Singaporean lifestyle. And we just simply go along. Do you actually pray? Do you? Every step of the way, every stage, every moment of every stage, you pray. Crying to the Lord, "Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. For without you sending thy light and thy truth, I cannot take even one step. I'm lost. I dare not. Just in case it is the wrong step and it will lead me in the wrong direction." Not only will the psalmist have this desire because of his adversities, but he knows in his heart that he needed the Lord. He needed the Lord. And David needed to learn this lesson. And I'm sure even after his life as a fugitive was over, he never stopped crying to the Lord, "Lord, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, and this time, so that I will not make mistakes, so that I will make fewer mistakes." And the moment when he did not, were moments when he stumbled and fell into sin with Bathsheba, with numbering the people at the close of his life. Those were the bleak and dark moments where he did not cry to the Lord, "Send out thy light and thy truth." Because he wanted to be willful. He wanted to do something according to the lusts of his life, of his body. Carnality. And therefore he stumbled and he fell. But thank God that the Lord did not give up on him. The Lord sent Nathan to rebuke him and to bring him back. And he came back. Send out thy light and thy truth, even though I'm in sin. Bring me back unto thyself, O Lord. Lead me. Lead me back unto thy holy hill. If I have strayed away and I sin against thee, Lord, lead me back. Do you truly, truly want the Lord to bring you back? Then cry to the Lord sincerely, O Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. And lead me and bring me back to thy holy hill. If you are one who has strayed away and the life as a Christian has already grown cold and you have lost the fire and the passion and everything is just ritual, perfunctory, they call it. Just ritualistic. Just go through the motion. Don't. Your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ must be one of fiery passion. Passionate. Every aspect of my life, Christ must be the center. And I will not take one step, I will not make one decision without my Lord leading me, guiding me. That's how you and I must live. If it is not the case in 2020, will you make it so for 2021? Will you make it so that you will truly, sincerely, and not wait for an adversity to come before you cry to the Lord, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, and lead me all the way until thy holy hill, until I arrive home in glory. Because you know in your own heart of hearts that you need this. And if you say, I don't need this, then there's something seriously wrong with you, because a child of God will never, never not cry to his heavenly Father for this guidance. Because the same person is the person who longs for eternity. All things spiritual. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And why art thou disquieted within me? Why do you allow the circumstances? And why do you allow this enemy of yours to rob you of your peace in your heart, the quietness? So why are you so disturbed? Why are you so troubled? Why are you never, never at peace in your soul? Why are you so easily depressed? Why do you worry so much? That's the meaning of the word disquiet, isn't it? A person who has peace in his heart will have a quiet spirit. A person who has no peace in his heart has a very loud and noisy spirit, disquiet. Sickness. Oh, get upset. No more peace. Loss of job. Fail in school. So many things that can rob us of our peace. And so, the psalmist says to his own soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. You know why we are disquieted? Because we hope in the wrong things. We hope in the wrong things. Do you hope in the wrong things? Where David hoped for the fugitive years to be over, well, he will be hoping for the wrong things. He will never, never stop murmuring and complaining. And so he needed to learn to be quiet, wait patiently for the Lord to end his years as a fugitive. Wait quietly. Submit and commit your life to the Lord, because waiting is something that we need to practice and learn. We are a busy people. We don't like to have quietness. I think many, many young people, the millennium generation, they don't like quietness. How do I know that? Very easy. You see young people walking around with this stuff in their ears. Right now, it's wireless, right? Some little earbuds, they call it. Is it earbuds? B-U-D-S, right? Buds. So much so that you can't even see it. And so when you are walking behind them or jogging behind them, excuse me, they don't move. They don't move because they don't hear you. They are noisily hearing something that is connected to their phone. You don't see anything because it's all wireless. Their phone should be in their bag or in some pocket somewhere. And then their ears, you can't see any wire or anything. They're in a very noisy world. They sit in the train, the thing is on. The moment they walk out their house, the thing is on. The moment they sit down in front of the computer, the thing is on. It's as if they're born with the thing in their ears. Right? Handphone not enough. Now you must have some noise all the time. But the Lord says, why do you allow all these things to rob you of your quietness? When you are quiet, think of the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Learn to be still. Can you? Can you do that? You know, many people are told, when you are crossing the zebra crossing, you know, don't look at the phone, don't listen to all these things when you're walking, because you can't hear anything. You can't hear the bicycle coming, you can't hear the motor car, whatever it is. God give you 5 senses. Why don't you cut one off? Your hearing. There are all sounds around you to keep you alert, to be safe. But now you pluck here, pluck there, you don't want to be quiet. And the moment quiet comes, you feel so uncomfortable. Like a drug addict going through some cold turkey. You put the person in a room that's torturous. You must have some noise. Are you like that? Can you please don't put those stuff in your ear? When you're walking, jogging, or whatever, spend some quiet time with the Lord. Not just some quiet time in the morning, and after that, noisy time for the rest. Learn to be quiet. And think upon the Lord, and think about your life. Think about where you are in relation to the Lord and your service and everything about you. And if there is some part that needs guidance, you cry to the Lord, lead me by thy light and by thy truth. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Hope thou in God. That means hope in things eternal. Don't hope for money. Don't hope for your children to do well in school. Don't hope for anything that is of this earth that will melt away and dissolve by a fervent heat. God already told us. Hope in God. Hope in all things spiritual and eternal for yourself and for the people around you. Then you will, like David, like the psalmist, cry sincerely, send out thy light and thy truth, that I will never, never take my eyes away from thee. And my hope will never at any time be for the things of this world, that my hope will continue to be in God and in God alone. So that sincerely you will praise him who is the health of my countenance. Because of him I have a very healthy spiritual, mental, emotional well-being. Why are you in depression? Because you don't hope in God. Why are you afraid? Because you don't hope in God. Why are you so nervous, worrisome, can't sleep at night, need to take sleeping pill? Because you do not hope in God. You do not trust him. You do not know him. And therefore you will not be one who will cry, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. And for your information, where is Christ? Send out thy light and thy truth. Now we say the light is Christ, right? Christ is seated at God's right hand. So send out thy light and thy truth means you. Do you know that? You are to be the light and salt of this earth, was what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. So when you cry, send out thy light and thy truth, you are basically crying to the Lord to send some Christians into your life to bring the truth to you. Do you know that? And you will not cry for that to happen when you are not one yourself. Why don't you be the light and thy truth to someone? When that person cry out to the Lord, Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Would you be the one who would go? Because Christ is now in you, right? You and I are supposed to bear the image of Christ. So who and where will the light of Christ be found, be seen? Your life. And you will not send out, you will not cry to the Lord, send out thy light and thy truth, and you do not want to become one. Will you be that first and foremost to your own homes? Be a light and truth to your mom and dad, sons and daughters. Parents, be the light and truth to your children, to your grandparents, to your grandchildren. And when you go to school, will you be that to your classmates? Send out thy light and thy truth. Ask God to send you. And therefore, be holy. Be holy. And you will not cry that cry if you do not know in your own heart of hearts that you need it first for yourself so that you can become one. Isn't that true? How can you be the light and the truth when you yourself live in sin, when you do not study God's word? And so the Lord sends you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What have you been doing in school? Can your friends, your schoolmates, and the teachers see Christ in you? Because you are supposed to be that light. And when they listen to you, when they speak with you, will they hear the truth of Christ? Because that's exactly what it is. Shine out that light and that truth. You think what? Some kind of a heavenly torchlight is going to shine, and then in the sky you're going to have some Hebrew words appearing. Where is the truth and the light going to be seen in the world? The word of God. Who is going to study God's word if God's children will not study God's word and bring the word of God everywhere they go? No one would. So send out that light and that truth. Basically, you are asking God to send a godly Christians into your life to show you, to teach you, to guide you. Isn't that what it is? It's not something that is intangible. It's something that is real, and there's something that is very tangible. And your church is called Truth BP Church, and therefore your name is already here. But the question is, will you be that light that will accompany the truth that is found in the name of your church only? Will it be found in the name of the church only? Or should it be found inside of you? It should be. That would be better. As you reflect upon 15 years of God's mercy and goodness, let it truly be one of thanksgiving from the heart. Because you will cry to the Lord, Lord, send me and let me be the light and thy truth to someone in Truth BP Church and to someone in my life. Would you do that for this whole year? That you will be the light and the truth to your schoolmates, for those who are students. Instead of so absorbed in your own ideas, in your own wants and desire, have this desire first. Because if you want God to send someone to your life to be the light and truth in your life, I'm sure if the Lord says, I'm sending you then to that person, would you be that? Because you know, first and foremost, how much you want that light and that truth from the Lord. And once you know how much you want it, and the Lord says, I'm sending you, you can empathize with that person. You know that, right? But you have no desire for it, it's impossible for you to become one, a light and the truth to others. And when your hope is in God, you will stay true and stay strong. Because just because you go out and be the light and the truth, don't think that they are going to slap you on the back and say, welcome, wow, it's so good. You will be hurt, you're going to be slandered, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be taken advantage of. But you must never lose your hope in God. Just because you are the light and the truth, please remember, it is in the devil's world. And if your hope is not in God, if your hope is for them to say nice things about you, to pat you on the back and to welcome you and to embrace you and to put you on a pedestal and to thank you very much and reward you, then you're going to be very, very disappointed. That's why you must hope in God. Hope in God. And don't let your soul be cast down. Because the person who has gone through all these things will be the best person to help someone who is going through the same thing. Because this is spiritual. And everyone who is a child of God, you are that light, bearing the truth of Christ. Would you ask the Lord to send you to someone for this year? Will you begin in your own home, in your workplace? The world is winding down, running out of time. Your employees and your colleagues, your employers, they have known you for a season of time. Will you be the light and the truth to them? Because they do not know how to cry, send out thy light and thy truth, O God, because they do not know God. But the Lord will send you, because you know what's it like to cry to the Lord, to send someone to guide you, to help you. And therefore, you must know how they feel too. They are in spiritual darkness. They are in adversities upon adversities, and they don't even know it. Just like God sent someone to bring you the gospel to save you, will you be the light and the truth to another? For this year, lead someone to God's holy hill. And the only way is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. O Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Send me. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts out of thy holy word. As we reflect upon 15 years of the existence of this church, it is only by thy grace and thy mercies that we are not consumed. For we know that we have failed thee and we have failed God's people repeatedly. And yet, Lord, you have been so patient and long-suffering in dealing with us. For at any time, you could have taken us out of this world. But you have given to us, year after year, opportunity after opportunity, privilege after privilege, to live for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of us have wasted 2020 in our slothfulness and in our spiritual stupor. We have not cried to thee to send out thy light and thy truth, for we have been too comfortable in our carnality. Forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us, O Lord, of all our sins. And this afternoon, as we remember thy goodness for the past 15 years, thou hast sent forth thy light and thy truth through someone in Truth BP Church, through their teaching, through their holy witness, and through their encouragement. We have been encouraged. And thou hast used them to lead us unto thy holy hill. And our souls have been encouraged and have been lifted up. And our hope in God have returned and remained. Send us forth, O Lord, in the year 2021 to be thy light and thy truth to someone. That we may be used by thee, O Lord, to lead someone to thy holy hill. For a sinner, they may know the Savior. To brothers and sisters in Christ, they might be encouraged. May this life that we live be a life of service to others. And wherever we go, may we be that light and thy truth to lead someone to thy holy hill. This is our heart's desire, O God, as we remember thy goodness these past 15 years. May 2021 truly be a year of obedience, a year of encouragement, a year of witness. Send us out. For Jesus' sake, may we respond like Isaiah. Send me, O God. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.